The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Unlock the power of your dreams. Welcome to Ask Dr. Dream with Kelly Sullivan Walden.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Dream, where you uncover the truth of your dreams and reveal the beauty, the breathtakingly gorgeous beauty of who you are. And I am so happy to be your host, Kelly Sullivan Walden, aka Dr. Dream, here on Unity Online Radio. And the number to call today, if you have a dream to share, a dream question, or a question about the Celestine prophecy, or about Peru, or Machu Picchu, or things that rhyme with hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I don't know. I'm not going to rhyme this early in the morning. What am I daring to try? Okay, the number to call is 816-251-3555, 816-251-3555. And I have a full house today. It's like a party. First of all, I'm sitting next to such a gorgeous woman, Kosar Abbasi. Say hello, Kosar.
Hello.
Kosar came all the way from Iran to sit here with me today and be here with you on Unity Online Radio. Is that true?
Yes.
In fact, you incarnated just to be here for this moment. So for those of you who don't know her, you can find her on Instagram at Kosar Abbasi, A-B-A-S-S-I, yeah. K-O-S-A-R. And Kosar has some amazing pictures, amazing videos. She's an incredible dancer. She's, it's not belly dancing. It's not Persian dance. It's not Sufi dance. It's fusion dance off the hook. Like when she moves, the world moves and life changes. She's such a talent. So I'm so happy that you are here with me in the flesh.
Thank you so much.
And she's here in the flesh because Nancy T can't be here in the flesh, but Nancy is here in spirit and in voice. Hi, Nancy T. Are you here?
I sure am. Hi, ladies. So good to talk to you both. Yay.
Yay, Nancy T. And Nancy T, when we were just doing our little pre-show on what were we doing it on Facebook Live on my Kelly Sullivan Walden Dr. Dream page. We do that before the show every week. Nancy was sharing a very interesting and fun dream. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I also want you to know who else is with us. Let's just bring everybody on and then we'll see how this conversation flows. Russ Jones is somebody that Nancy T and I met a couple, maybe a year and a half ago-ish Teotihuacan. And Russ was leading a group. I was leading a group and we were both staying at the Dreaming House in Teotihuacan at the same time. And we started talking and Russ said, "Hey, have you ever been to Tolon Tongo?" And I was like, "What? What do you do with my Tongo?" And anyway, he convinced Nancy and I to take our group to Tolon Tongo, and we had a most magical time in the waterfalls, in the caves, in the underground, in this sacred water magical dream. It's a dream come true. And while we were on the bus on the way up, Russ and I were talking about Peru, and I thought, wow, I don't know, it'd be really fun to go to Peru with somebody who knew what he was doing. Turns out Russ is that person. Russ has been to Peru many, many times. How many times have you been to Peru, Russ?
I think I've been there 7 times.
Wow.
And 7 to 10 times. It's all kind of blurry now.
Wow. So I wanted to bring Russ on the show today because he's very dreamy. In fact, he uses the word dream all the time. If you ask him a question about something he doesn't immediately know the answer to, he'll say, want to say it, Russ?
I don't know.
Let me dream on it. I heard you say this. I queued you up, Russ. Work with me here. Let me dream on it. I'll dream on that. Yeah? Yeah. Or am I just dreaming?
It is a dream. Life is a dream.
Isn't it?
Depends on what dream I want to be in.
Exactly. Well, so what we talked about for kind of the little teaser about this show is tying in the Celestine prophecy with what you've learned from Peru. But before we do that, Nancy T is our spiritual Vanna White, and she's going to shuffle the Hero's Journey Dream Oracle cards for us all and pick a card and read it in her lovely lilting voice and inspire us today with our message for today. And maybe this Hero's Journey Dream Oracle card will inspire you to step up to being more of the hero you were born to be. And I'm not just saying that to you, Russ. I'm saying that to everyone who's listening, to all of us. So Nancy, no pressure, pick the right card. Don't screw up.
You know, what's funny is you said all of that. And then the card that I chose is say yes to your higher calling.
Okay, let's hear it, Nancy. Bring it in. Yeah, and if you can talk a little louder, somehow get, like, shove your face into the microphone of the phone, that would be great.
Tell me, is this better?
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put on my glasses so I don't, you know, try and really figure this out.
Good job.
Through osmosis. Okay.
Yeah.
So, say yes to your higher calling is the card. It's card number 12. I love this card. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks like a woman, and there's all this beautiful yellow, and she's got this gorgeous blue gown, and her hair is flowing, and she's holding it. It looks like the sun, but it could be the moon. It's so beautiful. She's reaching out to it. I love this card, and I want her outfit. So that's just a side note.
Most importantly, where does Rasuli do his shopping for his goddesses that he paints? We need to know these things. The Rasuli gallery. So,
the theme is to be a human exclamation mark. And the big question is whether you are going to be able to say a hearty yes to your adventure, Joseph Campbell. So the message is, pack lightly, bring only the most essential so you can be free to embrace each new moment with wide open arms, heart, mind, body, and soul. Life is a conveyor belt of never-ending blessings, and you can say yes to it all. Then, when it's time for you to release and move on, you can do so with pleasure and gratitude. Deeply appreciate all your belongings, yet recognize that you aren't intrinsically attached to them. Appreciate all the experiences and defining moments displayed in your personal halls of fame and shame, but also know they are not who you are. Release them willingly to make room for new experiences. Feel the butterflies and sensations of love well up within you, and trust that saying yes to the beckoning winds will lead you to the perfect people, places, and situations for your maximum soul growth. You are ready. Woo! And the mantra is, I trust my yes to lead me to the perfect people, places, and opportunities. And the dream symbol, travel, a journey.
Are you kidding me? Nancy, did you really pick this randomly?
I really did.
Oh, you planned it.
That's good. You're good. You're good.
I'm trying to tell you, oh my gosh, this is great. And remain open to an unlimited possibilities that lie ahead. Oh, wow. How about that? Mm.
Wow. Nancy, that was perfect. You picked, I don't think you read what travel in a dream means. Can you add that to it?
Oh, yeah, I can. Hold on. I'm dropping things and switching things around. There it is. It just opens right to it. All right. So it's travel, a journey. Dreams of travel or being on a journey signify a change or need for awareness of your life direction. Remain open to the unlimited possibilities that lie ahead. Your highest destiny is calling, and it may be taking you to places within your body, mind, and soul that you never knew existed. Woohoo!
Holy Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. That was beautiful. Okay, just say yes. Just say yes to Russ.
Yes.
Yes. Kosar? It just rolls right off her tongue. There's no hesitation. How does that relate to you, Russ?
Well, it relates. It was kind of a dreamy for me to hear that, because I was running on fear for a large part of my life, and I was afraid to go to Mexico and to go on a spiritual journey. And after 10 years, I finally said yes. And it changed my life. It changed the way I looked at my life. And through going to Mexico, I was invited to go teach in Peru. And I said yes, and I didn't think I would ever go. And one of the things that happened for me was to be able to change my inner landscape and my belief system around that the world is a beautiful place and not a scary place.
Oh, that's big. Big.
Yeah.
Wow. So that little shift, that big shift, made all the difference.
Well, it was, I think it was a process of being, what would I call it, restricted, constricted inside myself. And then finally people kept on asking me, and finally, and I don't know what the shift was for me to say yes. And the same thing with my continuing journeys to Peru and Mexico, to say yes to new opportunities there and to say yes inside myself, to learn a different way, a new way to experience my life, and to learn a new practice. So I practice Lakota spirituality, and I practice Toltec spirituality. And this last year I went to Peru and climbed Mount El Sangati. And in my 59th year of life, I climbed up to 17,000 feet and did my initiations with the Caro Indians of Peru. And I didn't die, but I did die. I died to my belief, my restrictive belief. And I'm open to new experiences, and it's a beautiful thing. And so coming on our journeys, those are some of the things you can look forward to, plus just the utter beauty of going to Machu Picchu, one of the wonders of the world, and to do a ceremony with the Caro Indians. That'll be part of our trip. To learn, and I have a pretty solid foundation with how they experience life, and I can translate that. Because I know the first time I did ceremony with them, I didn't understand what they were doing, and I projected lots of negativity onto them. And then when I went last year to do my initiations, I gained a much larger understanding, so I can translate that to the people that come on our trip.
How fantastic. Wow. Well, good for you for saying yes and going through all that it's taken for you to become masterful in all of that. And so I'm just excited. I mean, so you and I talked about bringing a group, and now it's time to start telling people about it. I mean, I've been telling people about it kind of casually, but now it's like a couple months away. So if anybody's hearing this.
We leave in 58 days. So
holy Lord. Okay, so that's almost 3 months.
And to say yes. It's time to say yes. And
Kosar's like, okay, just say yes. So in the movie, The Celestine Prophecy, I just want to talk about this for a minute, because that, to me, was the first time I really thought about Peru as a mystical place to go. And in that book, the lead character is somebody casually says, oh, you should go to Peru. You should go check out this place. And he's like, oh, that's strange. I just got like something happened at work, and so he had time off to go. So he just kind of, and then at home he gets the mail and there's this brochure for Peru, and he's like, oh, interesting. So there's all these synchronicities, and he jumps aboard. And to me, I felt very much like I related to the lead character, and I've been paying attention to synchronicities ever since. So in the Celestine Prophecy, they talk about these nine these nine secrets. They don't call them secrets. They call them something else. But when you uncover each one, it opens up a level of awareness and it brings you to a higher level of vibration. And the very first one, and Nancy T and I were just talking about this on Facebook, is about meaningful coincidences, synchronicities. So whether, you know, when you hear about a sacred journey to Peru and maybe it's something that you've thought about and maybe somebody else, that usually I think it comes in threes, these signs. Think about the possibility of going. Now the seed first got planted for me back in 1995 and I have yet to go. And so sometimes it takes a while for these seeds to gestate and percolate. Just because you hear about it in one moment doesn't mean you jump. But to me, it's always magical when I do. And I want to invite Russ. I don't know if you ever read that book. Nancy, I know you did. Kusar, I'm not sure. And anyone who's listening, there's nine of these insights. And there's a couple of them that are my favorite that actually have changed my life. And I wanted to share a little bit about another one of them. But Russ, let me ask you, did you ever read that book? Are you still there? Russ Jones, I can't hear you. Okay, there you are. Did you ever read that. The Celestine Prophecy? That's okay.
I read it like a long, long time ago, and I recently watched the movie. And I had watched the movie a long time ago. And what was your question? I got distracted by a message on my phone, so I didn't get the question.
It was about the insights, about which of them stirred you or inspired you. If anybody wants to call in and weigh in on this conversation about which of those insights were their favorites, the number is 816-251-3555. So I'm going to share one of the ones that really rocked my soul in addition to the synchronicity one. It was the one that comes towards the end. And Kosar, I think anybody who cares about intimate relationships, this one will be important to you in the story. And it's all in the spirit of Peru and in Machu Picchu, and they're running and they're trying to keep themselves alive, and their vibration keeps getting higher and higher. So some of the people that are trying to get them and arrest them can't see them because they've gotten so light. But there's a moment where the lead guy, there's this woman that he's really attracted to, and she's beautiful, and he keeps running into her at all these key moments. And every time he sees her, he kind of steps all over himself and makes a fool of himself trying to get her attention, trying to hook her. And he keeps doing it wrong, so it keeps repelling her, even though you can tell she's also attracted to him. But he keeps trying to get it right. And finally, towards the end of the story, where it's like the critical moment where all the people with machine guns are soon going to be coming and they have to hide out. And he's there in the same space at the same time with this beautiful woman. And the shaman woman that he's with says, "Dude," she doesn't call him dude, but basically she's like, "Dude, you have to get a hold of your energy. Can you believe what you're doing with your energy?" And he's like, "What?" He said, "Okay, you're here in the living room and she's in the kitchen, but your energy is not here with you. It is in the kitchen with her. That means that you have none of your energy, none of your soul force is here with you where you need it. So get your energy out of the kitchen and back here in the living room with you." He's like, "I had no idea. I'm just so attracted to her and I just really want to talk to her." And she's like, "You have to imagine that she is already sitting next to you and that you already have this connection. She's not separate from you. She is a part of you. Now, if you can do that, then I bet you you'll even magnetize her to you without having to run after her." So he sits there and in his mind, he imagines that she's sitting next to him and it makes him happy. And then he kind of imagines that she morphs into him. So they're connected and he gets super happy and he becomes like a glowing orb. And sure enough, she comes walking out of the kitchen and is magnetically drawn to sit right next to him physically. And that's basically the simple version of that insight. Do you remember that one, Russ?
I do.
Nancy, what about you? That.
Oops, sorry, I was on.
I don't know. I'm losing people. Everyone's dropping like flies. Am I talking to myself? Nobody loves me. Kosar is here. Okay, Kosar, I'm not going to talk to Nancy and Russ. Kosar, what did you think about that insight? Does it make sense? And then I'll talk to you guys. Just kidding.
No, he's not too scared now.
Okay, Nancy, did you guys? I mean, does any of that make sense? That insight about clamoring after.
It reminded me of something. It reminded me of maybe Katie says that too. Well, you know how she has that concept of you have your business, and then there's someone else's business, and there's God's business.
God's business, right.
I feel like that is this similar parallel in this book where, you know, really, you know, if your energy is in the kitchen, then you're not here. There's something to that. And I love that. I love that takeaway. And it reminded me of Katie, my favorite. So,
yeah, I always thought this could really work, not just with people, but I think it works with things and places. Like let's use Peru for an example. Like for anybody who's feeling like, I mean, and I've had so many people email me and say, oh my God, I look at your trip to Peru. That looks so amazing. I could never do that. It's too much money. It's too much time. It's too whatever. So if you're somebody who thinks they'd like to go, but it looks too difficult, then try it like this. Put Peru right next to you. Imagine that it's like all of the magic of Machu Picchu and Huayna Picchu and all the other places that Russ is going to tell us more about and that he's told us about. Imagine that you're right next to it and it's seeping into you, and then you're in it without having to move your body one inch. Like just allow yourself to be in the field of it and it to be in the field of you. Feel the sharing of energy between you and Peru and Peru and you, so that you're not separate. You're together. And in this moment, as simple as this is, if it's meant to be a trip that you take, then you'll magnetize it. It will reveal itself. I think, and then it also takes away the longing and the wanting and the pain and the suffering of like, why can't I ever, you know, it's like, no, I'm already there. So back to you, Russ.
And that is what happened for me in the last 9 years of traveling to Mexico and Peru is I could have made up excuses for every trip not to go. And
thousand.
And one of the things that I'm a dreamer and I've been a dreamer all my life. And some people say, well, you just think too fantastically. And so there's this kind of put down for dreaming into things and but being able to dream into it. And so I have my waking dream and my sleeping dream and then just a dream. And when I first went to Peru, I dreamt into it. And I allowed myself to soar around Machu Picchu, and I'd never even been there. And I had this waking dream of soaring through the mountains of Machu Picchu, and it was fantastical. And I had this thing happen in my dream where I landed and I looked into a puddle, and the whole universe was in this puddle. And then a couple days later, I was in a rock shop because I like rocks. And there's this stone that looks like a puddle of stars. And so and that was a really big indicator for me. It's like, okay, and this is going to come with me to Peru. And so, and that dream is part of my dream. And part of the Andean Carol belief system is that we come from a guiding star. And to be able to meditate into that star and to know that you're home with that place. And part of a big part of their belief system is to meditate with rocks that you've picked out that you connect with. I like that idea of dreaming into it and being there, be with it. And I know for me that now I go there every year, at least once a year and sometimes twice a year to dream there with people.
Mm, I love that notion that you said about that we all come from a guiding star. Ooh, that really resonated with me. Kusar, what's all this bringing up for you? That insight about the relationship stuff and about dreaming into things and taking it from being outside of you to being right here.
First of all, I do really enjoy hearing all this. I'm myself in a very, I'm in a time of my life, in a period of time that I'm going through a lot of spiritual journeys myself. And I'm finding out a lot of truth inside and outside myself, and the things I deal and react to the things on a daily basis. And I'm really learning from all of you. Like, thank you. I got a chance to thank you again. And Nancy, you too. Thank you so much. I always, when I think of dream, I feel that I live it, the whole, the life is a dream, you know, it's a mystery. Dream is exciting, and traveling to places which gives us a like dreamy experiences. It's I think for me, it's always like I'm living them, you know, like when people tell me, what is your dream? I say, I'm just living it right now, you know. So I got a chance to travel to Mexico twice.
Yay.
And once to Teotihuacan with you. And oh my God, the changes that has happened into my life after this journey, these 5 days, is unbelievable.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
It's unbelievable. Like, I haven't been talking so much about it, but it's like, for myself, it's like crazy.
My God.
Yeah, I'm going to share soon.
Okay, because we're going to come right back from a break, and we're going to hear more from Kusar about the insights and the transformation that's happened to her, and also Nancy's dream, and more from Russ Jones here on the Ask Dr. Dream Show on Unity Online Radio. Don't go anywhere. Come right back and just say yes.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. You're listening to Unity Online Radio. This programming is made possible through the generous donations of listeners like you. If you feel inspired by this programming, we invite you to contribute. Go to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate to make your offering today. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Teachable Moment with Dr. Wayne Dyer, taken from a live lecture at a Celebrate Your Life event in 2014.
Just pay attention. Just start to recognize the miraculousness of every moment and everything that shows up in your life. And even the fact that you can take a breath and that who you are is here now at this time in an infinity that has no beginning and no end, that you showed up. Pay attention. Notice the trees. Notice the clouds. And as Maslow said, see the unfolding of God in everyone that you encounter. Pay attention. Know that this world that you're in, this physical body that you're in, is not who you are at all. Pay attention.
To find out about a Celebrate Your Life event in 2019, visit celebrateyourlife.com.
What if you could start each day with a positive outlook, remembering you are a divine expression of God? Daily Word is a booklet of daily devotionals offering positivity that's downright contagious. With a print subscription or by email, you can pause to reflect on how to practice spirituality in your human experience. Reading Daily Word takes about a minute a day, so you can feel uplifted every morning. Visit dailyword.com to subscribe.
Did you know Unity has published a new book by Eric Butterworth? This wonderful writer and teacher, who is loved by so many people, left a recorded class called Practical Metaphysics that has now been turned into a book. It's Vintage Butterworth. He explains how to live from a deeper state of consciousness and awaken to health, love, prosperity, and peace of mind. Practical Metaphysics. Find it online by going to unity.org and click shop.
Take a trip with Reverend Paul John Roach every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central and tune in to World Spirituality. A lifelong student and practitioner of many world spiritual teachings, Paul guides you to the unity and common values shared by all world religions. We really are all connected. Take a journey with Paul and explore our planet's spiritual landscape with insight, humor, and practical advice for all. Join the show with your question or comment right here on Unity Online Radio.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
Dream interpretation and a lot more. Welcome back to Ask Dr. Dream with Kelly Sullivan Walden.
And we're back here with the Ask Dr. Dream show here on Unity Online Radio. And I just want to give a big shout out to the beautiful Diane Ray, producer extraordinaire behind the scenes, and to Louie, who's also helping to make sure everything runs so nice and smoothly. And I think I even dreamt about Louie last night. He doesn't know this, but I don't know what Louie looks like because I've never seen him in person, but we were talking about the show and trying to get the Facebook Live version of the show happening, and he was helping produce it, and we were walking down the street and we were trying to get the technology together. So Louie, I think I'm going to try to get you dreaming, and that's my attempt to do that. So just so you know, we're going to bring you in one of these darn days. Okay. So Louie, we love you. And Nancy T, we on our Facebook Live that we do before this show on Facebook, on my Kelly Sullivan Walden Dr. Dream page, you shared a very interesting dream. Would you be willing to do the nutshell version of it? And so we can talk a little bit about it. I think it's very interesante.
Yeah. The nutshell version is I was interning at the NFL, and I was assigned to get the kicker to the ball so he could kick the ball, but he was a one-legged kicker. And when my boss told me to do that, I said, no way, I'm not doing it. And he said, yes, you are. And I said, watch me walk away while I don't do it. I ended up going out and going to a room in a house to see the game. And my sister was in there trying on a blouse. And I said, hey, that's my blouse. And she said, do you want it back? And I said, no, that was a pain in the butt to put on. And then I woke up. I mean, that's a real nutshell version, but I think I hit the high points.
Okay, what's the title of your dream?
NFL, no. I didn't want to say the H word.
Ella.
No.
Okay, and what's the subtitle?
The blouse always fits.
The blouse always fits?
Yeah.
Okay.
Situation.
Okay, got it. All right, so what does the NFL symbolize to you? Like, what if I was an alien, didn't know what that was, what described the NFL?
That's just like my Sporty Spice, my inner boy, you know, tomboy coming out and, you know, wanting to be scrappy. Which, in fact, is my characteristic in this dream. I think I was pretty scrappy when I told him, watch me walk away while I don't do what you tell me to do.
That's funny. You're even funny in your dreams.
I laughed at myself hilarious. In my dream at that moment. I thought that was funny.
So the boss, what's this represent to you? Is there somebody in your, go ahead.
It was actually a person who I went to high school with, who I'm friends with, and was never bossy with me. I haven't seen him in forever, but this boss was just kind of like, no, you're going to do this. I'm giving you this task. You're an intern. You have to do it because you know, I own you right now. And that was the symbolism of that character. Just, you have to do this because I own you.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So all right. So I think I'm going to do an, if it were my dream, unless you have anything else to say about.
No.
Well, I want to say, here's the kicker, but I'm bummed. And I think it's interesting that your daughter's about to have twins and they've been kicking her a lot lately. And so there's something about the kicking and the kicking getting more intense. And I'm not sure about the one-legged. What does it mean to just have one leg and to be a one-legged kicker?
It just, to me, that's like you don't have anything, and but what you do have, you're using to its fullest extent, you know, to the fullest capacity.
Oh.
Because if you only have one leg and you're choosing to kick with it, that is kick butt. You know what I'm saying? Like that
right,
is
that's
really
kicking.
Of all things, you're not just trying to stumble along or hobble about. You're doing the most with that leg.
Aww. That's awesome. And that's definitely you. You take what you've got and you rock it and you kick butt with what you've got. In some way, we're all one-legged kickers and we need each other to help us to help, you know, to help really have the show be kicking. So I think it's an interesting thing about I'm walking away. Oh, the energy to me that feels the most important in this dream is like, I won't be boxed in. And no one's going to make me do anything. You can't make me. It's like this positive use of will that's like, no, I'm standing for what resonates with me. I'm not going to just go down and do something that really takes away my life force. I'm standing for myself. I'm going to kick butt for myself, not for somebody else. And I can do things for a little while, but nope, I'm done. And then you immediately immerse yourself in clothes, but it's a shirt that I want to say it's a shirt that doesn't fit, but it does fit. It's just that it's too.
It does fit. It's just complicated to put on, but I'm not putting it on. My sister is.
Right. It's like not wanting to put on, like that belongs to me. It's mine, but it's too hard. It doesn't fit any, or doesn't it? I keep wanting to say it doesn't fit, even though that's not what happened. It doesn't fit right, or it's too complicated to wear. So giving this away. So, I mean, I would think that there's something that is being released here that relates very much to that first part of the dream. I don't know if you don't have to necessarily dig too deeply into your world, but what would you do if you became lucid in this dream? Is there anything you would change about this misfit, complicated shirt and this forceful dude telling you to work at the NFL?
You know, what's interesting about it is the shirt itself. I remember, like, I was like, wow, that's my shirt. But I wasn't at all angry that she had it. And she's, do you want it back? And I said, no, it's a pain in the butt to put on. So I don't want it back. You can have it. And I sort of like the dream because I wasn't taking the one thing that seems like something I would never want to do. And I wasn't taking the thing that some people would think for sure I'd want to do. I wasn't taking anything.
Right. You were like,
I'm good. I'm good as is. Just me.
And Kosar and Russ, I'm going to invite you to weigh in if there's anything you want to say. I'll just say this last piece. I think in the card that you picked, the Say Yes, one of the lines in there was something about travel lightly, let go of what, like the things that may have resonated before but don't any longer so that you can travel lightly. Like what no longer fits, let that stuff go. What isn't quite right, let it go, let it go, let it go so that you can make room for what does. So I'm feeling like that. My Kosar's liking that. She's doing quite the dance move of like, have what I'm having. Kosar, is that triggering anything?
Yes. This is what I have to do today.
Oh, let go.
Yeah.
Isn't there a song, Let It Go, Let It Go? What about you, Russ? What is this bringing up for you? Any thoughts?
Probably lightly and, you know, having things fit. I know I still have habits of my thought process, And my last, actually my trip before last to Peru, I climbed Mount El Sangati, and you know, I was very tired and cold, and I felt threatened in my because I was really cold. And we were spending the night in one of the elders' homes that didn't have heat, and I demanded that I go back to Cusco and take a hot shower. And so from my demand, and I was traveling heavy there with my energy, and so I demanded, 3 hours later, we're back in Cusco, and I go to take a shower, and there's no hot water.
Oh, my God.
And if I would have just relaxed a little bit, I would have warmed up, and I would have been able to stay with the high priest in his home, and I don't know what would have happened if I would have stayed. I know that I created misery for myself and others through traveling heavy. That's what comes up for me right now with that.
Oh, I love that. I think we learn just as much from the things when we get it right as when we get it wrong, because I think that makes such a potent story to share. I mean, I can think of moments when I've said, no, it's got to be my way, instead of getting into the flow of it. And it's just, I mean, but I think we constantly need a reminder. I think that's a really awesome, awesome message. So Nancy, back to you and your dream. So how is this feeling with you?
It feels really good. And when you said what you said, it prompted me to remember that I've been watching Marie Kondo and her whole organizing method, and she has this whole thing about when you pick up an article of clothing, does it spark joy? And if it doesn't, let it go. And so I wonder if that had something to do with why that part came in. But I've been wanting to do that with everything in my life, not just my clothes or not just my cupboards or whatever, but just with everything. If it doesn't spark joy, let's just let this go. And maybe that's what this whole dream was leading me to.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this is great. I mean, so that kind of leads us to the last question then about what will be your action that you'll take? How will you activate this dream? How will you honor it with action?
Well, I think I will just work on letting go of whatever I can, whether it's material things to clear space, because I have all these new things coming into my world. And, you know, what they say, nature abhors a vacuum. So if I can just create a vacuum or get a vacuum out and actually do the rug, like if any of that could happen, that would be great. And that would clear space for the really good stuff to come in that I would love to have.
Oh, good. That's wonderful. Get an actual vacuum, not like Glennon Doyle Melton. You know, my favorite story about her vacuuming.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
She hates to vacuum. In her book Love Warrior, she talks about how she hates to vacuum and will never vacuum, but she noticed that her daughter has a little buggy for her baby, and she was pushing the baby across the living room floor, and it was making these little tracks in the carpet. So she said, hey honey, walk your baby across from here and here and here, so that when her husband came home, she said, look honey, I vacuumed. It looked like all the little lines were
and she took the kid out to make it happen. That's crazy.
He'll get out a real vacuum. Don't make your child. Oh my God, I love it. Okay, Russ, back to you. I think inside of the whole conversation of the Celestine prophecy really points to this elevating step-by-step, kind of stair-step way to elevate our consciousness so that we are living in a way that is really the ultimate way that humans can be on the planet, where we're not in the control dramas. That was the other insight about trying to take each other's energy, trying to overpower each other, or being too in the inquiry, like, help me, help me, help me, or avoiding, but to be in this place where we are not trying to get our energy from people, but from the source itself, and then operating from a higher way. Have you experienced your own kind of elevating of consciousness and certain things that were dramatic rolling off a little easier, and like a general sense of well-being in all these amazing journeys you've had?
Totally. General sense of well-being and freedom. I shared at the beginning of the show that I was pretty restricted inside my body and tense and uptight, and being able to do these practices and go to these places and learn new ways to release my heavy energy. The Caros do a meditation that's super simple, and to recognize any heaviness I have in my body and my surrounding body bubble, I can release that into the earth. And so I have a better sense of well-being, a new practice that I can do to bring that into my life every day. And it takes maybe 3 minutes. It's really simple to practice, and having the freedom just to learn about Peru and the people, and I'm free to dream and travel around the world, and it's pretty cool instead of being constricted and afraid that I can't go anywhere because it's not safe. I've been opened up a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, you seem very wide open.
Sarcastic.
Right. Just a little bit, but a whole lot. I loved what you just said. When we were in Teotihuacan, someone said to me when we were, there's a releasing ceremony that we do in this wonderful, magical place called the Place of the Women. And someone was expressing that they were afraid to give their pain to Mother Earth, to this, there's this giant hole in the ground. It's like a well that leads supposedly all the way down to the center of the earth and to the heart of the Great Mother. And it's this invitation to not have to carry any burden that you don't want to carry and to give it to the mother. And Nancy Talzerow, Nancy T, did such a beautiful job. And Russ, Nancy, actually, there was this, Dana and Chez Libby wrote this song about like kind of coming from the voice of Guadalupe, of the mother. And then Nancy sang this song and embodied the mother in the Place of the Women. It was so beautiful. But there was somebody who was saying that they didn't want to give it to the mother because they didn't want to poison her. They didn't want to put something negative in the earth, that they wanted to take care of her and only put something positive in. And I had much to say about that, but I'd love to hear how you would respond to that whole notion of putting something that you don't want to carry, your negativity, your fear, into the earth.
Well, the Caro, their belief, the natives that I study with in Peru, is that there's light energy, and they call that Sami, and heavy energy called Hucha. And they give all the...
Sami and Hucha.
Sami and Hucha. And they give all their... They don't call it negative. They just call it heavy. And they connect their tail into the earth, into the underworld. The underworld loves heavy energy. That's what it's all about. And it's a different way to look at life and to look at, I know my domesticated reality here on earth is that I was taught certain things, but now I can change my mind. And that's part of the freedom to be able to understand their way is a very simple and powerful way to give our hucha, our heavy energy, into the earth, and the earth likes it. It's fertilizer. Truly fertilizer for the earth, for the underworld.
So it's not taking away. It's actually a gift. Ooh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Kosar's liking
and we
that.
And we can do that with other people. Also, it's a little more advanced process. But being able to, we call it eat someone else's hucha. And to be able to give it to the earth. We have the ability.
Ooh, say something about that. I think that's interesting. Say more about that.
Well, so there are some people, religious people or spiritual people, that say, you know, if someone bothers you, pray for them. Pray that they get all the good things. And so it's a similar process, except for if you see some heaviness in someone else, that you can open up your center
and your spiritual stomach, and you can take in all of their heaviness. You have the ability to do that, and then digest it, and then put your tail into the earth and give the underworld all that ucha, and it releases all the energy you have with that person, with that situation, with that, whatever it is, whether it's a country, a city, a group of people. We did in Hawaii, and it was just such a beautiful thing because it takes our heavy energy also about that situation and gives it to the earth, and then we have more Sammy in us, and we have capacity for Sammy. The upper world is Sammy, this light energy. This world we call the mundane. So the mundane is a mixture of Hucha and Sammy, and then the underworld is totally Hucha. So I don't know if that makes sense when I just explained, but it's a wonderful process. And so we'll do that.
I love it. I love it.
Own that process in Peru. And then after we come back from Peru, we can practice it.
Well, I love it. And again, for anyone who's listening, if you want to join us in Peru, you can go to my website. It's kellysullivanwalden.com/Peru 2019, 2019. What year is that? 2019. But if you're not able to come, just like the whole reason behind the book Dreaming Heaven that I co-wrote with Lee McCormick, Ginny Gentry, and Frank Hayhurst. I act as kind of the narrator in that book, but we wrote it in response to the movie Dreaming Heaven about the journey to Teotihuacan, because there were so many people that loved the movie and loved everything that was shared about the journey. But they said, I'm never going to get to Mexico. I'm never going to get to do this. But we thought, wow, well, there's a way to be able to practice some of this stuff without having to physically go. Yeah, it's really powerful to go. And if you can go, definitely go. But it doesn't mean that you can't start doing this work without it. And all this Teotihuacan stuff I'm talking about, I should be letting people know that you can get the Dreaming Heaven book. You can get it on Amazon. It also comes with the movie, a DVD of the movie, if anyone still has a DVD player. Some people still do. Because in the book, there's all these exercises about things like what Russ was saying that you can do to begin to shift your energy. But I love what you're saying. And I would even invite everybody who's listening, if you've got something heavy that you're moving through that you would like to not be carrying with you, find it. Can they just find a place like in their garden, in their backyard, out on the street? What can they do? Give people something practical to do with some of their hucha. And I love that word, by the way, hucha mama, with their hucha, so they can have more Sammy. Or is it Sammy or Sammy?
It depends on where you're from. I call it both Sammy and Sammy. I can't say it the other way, but it's a super simple process of standing wherever you are and noticing your body bubble or the energy around your body. Sometimes we carry hucha or heavy energy in our bubble also. And to be able to stand there, acknowledge your body bubble, open up the top of your body bubble, and acknowledge that there's light energy coming from the above world, from the star nation, and coming into your body, and then noticing inside your body or your body bubble if there's any heaviness. And in our Western mind, we might call it anxiety, fear, anger, frustration. In the Carol world, they just call it heavy. It feels heavy inside of us. And so you notice that and you collect it. You push Sammy or allow Sammy to swirl through your body and bring the hucha or heavy energy into your spiritual stomach, and you digest it there, and then you open up your tail region and extend your tail into the earth and let that hucha flow and let the Sammy flow through your body. And I want to say push, but it's not really the right word.
Is it like you're taking a spiritual poop?
Exactly.
And okay, I just had to be sure.
Another way we put it. And to give that
get that heavy energy to the earth, to the underworld, because it likes it. It thrives on that heavy energy, the hucha. And then once you notice that you're done, you can close up those body centers, and that's what I would call them, and check. And sometimes I know there's little remnants. Sometimes it takes a couple minutes to let those remnants flake off and go into your spiritual stomach and then go down into the earth. And it can take maybe 3 to 5 minutes. I do it in the shower. It's someplace I stand, and there's Sami. I see water as being Sami. And so while I'm taking my shower, I can do that process. It takes 3 minutes for me. So it's a simple practice that really enlightens me. It lightens me.
Wow. I love this. Yeah. This is, and yeah. I love that you can do it for somebody. Oops. I love that you can do it for somebody else. I'm trying to get this so that it doesn't play out loud. I'm trying to pull up my Peru webpage without hearing the sounds of that. Okay. I love that you can do it for other people. I mean, I know a lot of people in my family and others that are very concerned with the things that are being played out on the news and what, you know, in our current presidency and mm-hmm. things that we can feel so powerless about, like we can't do anything about that. So we either feel frustrated or we go into denial or... But this feels like it's an actual practical thing that we can do, the removing of hucha. Like if enough of us really did this, I would say the alchemy of hucha, it's not even removing it. It's taking it from one place, moving it into another that can then eat it and turn it into food and life and light. I love that. It gives us the ability to do something ourselves. So, Russ, in this minute that we have before we go, what's the best website or email that you can give out for people that would like to contact you with questions?
My website is Journeys with Russ.
Journeys with Russ. JourneysWithRuss.com. And if you go to KellySullivanWalden.com/Peru, April 2019. That's the webpage. You can find out about our journey. So thank you, Nancy Telzero. Thank you. Thank you, Kosar. Thank you, Russ Jones. This has been such a magical, magical show. And thank you, everyone at Unity Online Radio. Until we all meet again.
Thank you for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Hey, it's Radley Valentine. Join me for a brand new way of connecting with your angels on my new podcast, The Angel Tarot Show. Each week, you'll meet your angelic guides and guardians and find new ways to unlock unconditional love, tune into your intuitive abilities, and create the joy-filled life that, well, you've always wanted. Plus, you'll get a useful and timely energetic weather report bringing you guidance for the coming week. Tap into the healing, hope, and guidance that's all around you on the Angel Tarot Show, exclusively on mindbodyspirit.fm.